Thank you very much for that ministry and music. I think singing is probably one of the things most missed in the services. And eventually, we're going to be able to remedy that, I hope. But our passage today comes in Exodus chapter 12 and verses 1 through 28, which I will read in your hearing. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the numbers of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them, except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. And then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin on the lintel and two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. And then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Now, our word Passover has had a kind of a long journey from the original Hebrew, which meant a sparing or an immunity, into Aramaic, thence to Greek, and then translated into English. The word Passover, of course, did not appear or come into common use until the English translation of the Bible. I want to emphasize several themes in this portion. First would be beginnings. It was commanded that the Passover is to be the first month of the year for the nation of Israel. It marks the beginning of a nation. The lamb was to be taken on the 10th of the month and killed on the 14th. It was to be a male and without blemish. And the days between the selection and the slaughter would give time to observe the lamb and make sure there was no defect or blemish of any kind. And so the second thing I want to look at is observation. The lamb was killed and blood was put on the doorpost and lintel of the home, and this would cause that house to be passed over or spared by the final plague. This speaks of substitution and sacrifice. Two more things I want to look at. For the sacrifice of the lamb for the peace of the Passover secured the safety from death in the final plague. Of course, there had to be obedience. They had to slay the lamb. They had to put the blood on the lintel and doorpost as the Lord had commanded. The festival of unleavened bread was instituted at this time. It speaks of haste. There was no time to wait for bread to rise when the nation left Egypt. And in the subsequent festival of unleavened bread, leaven was to be removed from the homes of the people for 7 days. Only unleavened bread was eaten. And they were not to have leaven in the home, and they were not to bring anything into their homes that was leavened elsewhere. Leaven is a symbol for sin, and this speaks to cleansing. The nation was commanded to keep Passover throughout all their generation. Passover looks to the past because you have bitter herbs. When I did a little Passover meal in Sunday school, I noted that the bitter herbs didn't go very well. But it's a reminder of what was done for them by the Lord. So they looked back at the bondage, they remembered what was done for them, and they looked at the present and future. They taught it to their children. So it's a time for reflection and joy regarding what was and what is. So going back to the original points, first is beginnings. And Passover was to mark the start of the Jewish nation. Salvation is the start of any Christian life. We know that Nicodemus, and the series on Nicodemus should be relatively fresh in our minds, came to Jesus by night, and without too much dancing around, he was told directly, you must be born again. And so there weren't too many preliminaries there. If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. What you have is not enough. And so Nicodemus did not know quite what to make of that statement, but we think that he came to understand. Salvation, then, is personal. It's not corporate. And so each individual has a personal salvation experience. I can't do it for you from up here. The church can't do it for you as a body. Each person has to come to Christ themselves. The body of the church then is made up of those that have experienced salvation. And so we begin a new life and a second birth, and we start in a process that will last the remainder of our lives of following him. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. New perspective, new point of view, new values, new worldview, new outlook. And so Christians have been labeled a peculiar people. And this is how it's meant to be. It's a beginning of years for you, the beginning of life for you, beginning of eternal life for you. Because you need not wait for eternal life, because you've already started on it now. And there's much yet to go, and much yet to see and learn. The Lamb was taken and watched for a period of time, and Jesus was watched for a period of time. And the critics tried very, very hard to find some fault in him. They brought him a denarius, and they said, "Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar?" And they figured they had him, because if he said no, they would have run right to the Roman authorities and say, "This man is a rebel." If he said yes, then they would go to all the Jews and say, this man's a Roman collaborator. And he said to them, "Whose image and superscription is on this denarius?" And they said, "Caesar's." He said, "Therefore, render unto Caesar the things of Caesar, and unto God the things of God." And so they found that it was extraordinarily difficult for them to find fault with him. They didn't succeed. Even Pilate saw through their deception, and it's recorded that he knew the religious leaders brought him there out of envy. The Lamb was killed, and even so Jesus was killed, and the death of the Lamb saved the firstborn from death. So it was a substitution and also a redemption. The firstborn was redeemed, and the Lord had said, "Every firstborn belongs to me." Later, the Levites were chosen as those to serve God rather than all the firstborn born to all the nation. That which was saved and redeemed belonged to God. And so that was a principle that was being taught to the nation. That which I saved, that which I redeemed is mine. Just so the death of our Passover redeemed us from sin and death. And like the firstborn who were saved by the death of the Lamb, we are to serve God because we are redeemed. And we belong to God. We belong to the very family of God. Leaven was removed from the houses during the festival of unleavened bread, and we are to remove sin or evil practices from our lives after our Passover, which is Christ. It's not a mournful time when we give up valuable things, but it's a festival when we rejoice over what we have. What's left behind is of no value. Paul said, "I've suffered a loss of all things. To me, they're like rubbish, like trash you throw out. compared to the value of knowing Christ. The unleavened bread spoke to haste, and even so, we need to get down to business and do those things which God expects. For we don't know if our journey with God is going to last for months or years or decades, or whether our soul will be required of us this very day, like the rich farmer that saved up so many goods to enjoy and then found that they had to be left to somebody else. No matter how long we are going to live to serve God, we need to get at it because there's things that need to be done. Now, Israel was commanded to keep the Passover through the generations, and they were commanded to explain to their children what it meant. Even so, our Passover, Jesus Christ, is to be remembered through our generations. Most important thing you can teach your children is the obedience to the Lord and the following of the Messiah. Everything else pales in comparison. We're to teach our children what's been done for us by the Lord. Israel went from bondage in Egypt to freedom. And Jesus told the crowds following him that if they continued in his word, they would be free. But he also said anyone who serves sin is a slave to sin, but that the Son would make them free indeed. Christians have gone from slavery to freedom. We are free from judgment. We are free from the curse of sin and death. This is a gift of God to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, any religious service can evolve, or should I say devolve, into custom, ritual, habit, or spectacle. Perhaps it becomes a system of complex rules that must be followed. The Pharisees had any amount of complex rules, and in many cases, the common people threw up their hands and said, "Who can understand all this?" And the Pharisees said of them, "They don't understand the law. You know, they're stupid." The danger of this is that the ritual becomes an end in itself. At the point where the reason behind a ritual is lost. The Jews no longer kill a lamb at Passover time. They remember the feast and follow the rituals, but the lamb, which is central to the whole Passover feast, is no longer slain. They moved away from this after the destruction of the second temple. Similarly, many so-called Christian churches remember the rituals and meet on Sunday, but the lamb gets pushed into the background. Maybe it's social action that they're worried about, or it's some kind of worry about treatment of various people or groups of people. Sometimes it might be taking care of the poor, which is important, but it's not the central tenet of our faith. The lamb is pushed into the background, and the lamb for sinners slain has been forgotten. So they focus on trappings, or they focus on spectacle. But the Christ, who takes away the sin of the world, is somewhere in the background. Maybe easy to find, maybe hard. The fundamental churches are to a degree what you might term plain Jane churches, okay? We don't burn incense up here. That we swing around. We don't have a fancy headpiece or a fancy robe. You'll find that we don't have a pulpit over in the corner that's way elevated up in the air. And other trappings, that's not accidental. Because at Reformation time, the Protestant Reformation, one of the things they wanted to do is to become more like the original church, and that's what the fundamental churches do today. And so anything that can take away from the emphasis on Christ and bring it to rituals or bring it to costume or bring it to spectacle is consciously avoided. We say, no, we don't want to do that. Now, if we read 1 Corinthians 5:7, which I'm going to read in your hearing, that speaks also to the Passover festival. I'm going to start at verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Now, Paul here is talking about sin, which has come into the church and been tolerated. Okay? They said, oh, this is all right. Paul says, no, it's not all right. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. So he says, with leaven, a symbol for sin, you are unleavened, and you are unleavened because of Christ. So don't be tolerating sin. Clean that out. So this is our lamb to save us, and we don't need another. And the point I'm trying to make is the what of things we do becomes pointless if we forget the why. As we look at the feast, we can see that the why is the most important. It's what drives the whole thing. So our communion then is a time for reflection, but it's also a time for joy. Like the nation of Israel, we remember where we were, we look at where we are, and most importantly, we look at what's been done for us. Because what has been done for us is what has taken us from where we were to where we are. And we didn't do it. It was done for us by Christ, and God loved the world. He loved us. And that's what pushed this whole process. It's what made it happen. So when we come to communion, it says in the scriptures to remember until he comes again. So we can remember where we were. We can reflect on where we are. Now, a little tutorial before we go into communion. As you take this, and you don't need to do it with me, but as you open the top, you're going to find a little wafer of bread in there. Okay? under the bread, you're going to find another tab, and as you open that, you then have access to the juice. So it's an all-in-one product. But now I like to go to Luke chapter 22. I'm going to start at verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. We haven't celebrated the Lord's table since March, and I believe we can truthfully say that we have earnestly desired to meet together and celebrate. Changes have been made in the church, in our meeting, in our procedures, and many, many changes in our daily lives. However, some things remain. Salvation still remains. Celebrating the Lord and remembering till he comes again still remain. And so at this time, we're going to have a brief interlude for reflections as people do whatever business they need to do before we partake of the bread and the cup. I'd like to read further in Luke at this time. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Each of it. In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten. This would be the cup of blessing, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. He said, drink ye all of it. And we see that it is written elsewhere that as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember my death until I come. Now, like the Passover, this is a remembrance for us, something we do in remembrance of him. A time of reflection, but also a time of joy. Now, we usually take up an offering of at this time. We're not passing a plate around, but the familiar communion plate for the deacon's fund is at the back on the table there. And so if you have an offering for the deacon's fund, you can just put that in there as you leave. As I say, many things have changed, okay? But the congregation remains. The Word of God remains. The communion remains. And the church will come through this time of change, and they will come out the other side. And we'll close now in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for those who came. We pray you bless them and bless this church as we continue on our way to serve and minister to the best of our ability until things become perhaps more normal again. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.